Lord, I just ask that you continue to fill us with your love and your joy and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Your Hebrew alphabet there. It is Old Hebrew, as you can see. And then it is Samaritan, Old Aramaic, and then we have the Aramaic Hebrew. Now look over there in the square characters. See there in the square characters about, and I better hold this up for the camera because they don't know what I'm talking about. Otherwise. You have the Old Hebrew, and that's what you're going to get over there when you go in and start look at some of the ancient writings. And then you have Samaritan. And if you'll look and see that these languages are somewhat, Dakota, can you quieten that thing down a little bit over there? Somewhat alike. If you start looking at them. Anyway, what we use here is a biblical Hebrew. If you'll look over here to about this part and look down through there about this far where it says Aramaic and square characters. And then even the cursive over there. You started writing in cursive, haven't you, Roger?
Yeah.
But not, is it this cursive?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you see Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Wa, Zayin, Cheth, Teth, Yod. All right, Kaf, Lamet, Mem, Nen, Samek, Ayin, Pe, Sadi, Kaf, Resh, Shin, Sin, Tau. That's how they are, and you can see that. Now, we're dealing with Israel and Egypt, aren't we? All of the human race, the whole human race is of one blood, Adam's blood, okay? It goes all the way back. We were talking earlier tonight before we started the class about the genealogy of Joseph and the genealogy of Mary. Mary's genealogy is in the book of Luke. And, of course, Luke looks at Jesus as a man with the blood of the woman, all right? And Matthew looks at Jesus as the heir of the king through Joseph. Joseph should have been on the throne. Now, I've got some little charts here made out. I want to just slowly go through these with you and tell you the origin of the races. Okay? Of course, we've got Adam. Okay? And then Adam, the tenth from Adam was who? The tenth man from Adam. The tenth man from Adam, the tenth.
Yeah.
No, he was the seventh.
Okay.
Okay. The tenth was Noah. Noah. And say Noah. 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 Okay? All right, what does Noah mean? Aha! Uh-huh. What's Noah mean? Do you remember Pamela, Noah? All right, Noah means peace and safety. If you look at the first 10 names in the Bible, they're inspired of God. And they tell the whole story of the gospel. And the last one, it starts out with Adam. We have the first Adam, the one that gives us the infection of sin. We have the second Adam that gives us eternal life. And then the Adam, and then Zeth. The first Adam was our damnedest, condemnedest. The second Adam gives us life, but he is our substitute. All right? He is our substitute. He suffered for us. All the way down to Noah now. Noah means peace and safety. Noah had three sons. He had Japheth. All right, that's the Japhethites. He had Ham. There's the Hamites. And he had Shem. And this is the... What does Shem mean?
Name
or monument. All right. Now let's look at Japheth. Japheth fathered Gomer. And Gomer fathered Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. Now, here are all of your German, your Nordic, and all of these races. This is where this comes from. These are all of the white races. These are northern European, basically. Magog, Madai, Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Dodanim, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. These are all Japhethites. Okay. Now the Hamites. And we're dealing with the Hamites in the book of Exodus. Now let's see what did they... he had Canaan. These are the cursed. Canaan's people are cursed. Not Mitzram and not Cush. Canaan is the cursed line. Now you get into the old Southern Baptists and they'll say the whole race of Ham was cursed and they're cursed to be slaves and that's the way God wants it. Well, it's not. It's not the way God wants it. Canaan was the cursed one. Canaan had Sidon. He had Heth. Jebusite are the original inhabitants of what?
Jerusalem.
Thank you very much. I know you've been there, haven't you? All right. The old city of Jebush, near the city of David. All right. Amorites, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Tamarite, and the Hamathite. All right. And then Cush. Cush fathered Nimrod, Rezin, Seba, Havilah. What's Havilah mean? Gold. Sabtah, Sabtichah, Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. All right? Later on, we're going to see the queen of Sheba. And there's where Haile Selassie and them come from. Is that line right there? Okay? There's where you black Jews come from. All right, now let's go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Say that, Mitzrayim. Okay. It's Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtuhim, Parthrushim, Kaf Torim, Kasalim, and Philistine. Alright? Those are your Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means what? Land of red mud and canal banks. Because that was the most sophisticated system and people in the world at that time. These are the most sophisticated people in the world. Okay? Now let's go back to the book of We'elei Shemot. We'elei Shemot means what? With? And? Elei? These? Shemot names. And these names. You're awful quiet over there, Brother Abe. All right. We're at 11 and verse 10. 11 and verse 10. Let's go back there. You, Moshe. We, Aharon. Asu. Et. Kol. Ham. Nof. Fitim. Ha'ele, Lifne, Peiro, Y-Chazek, Hadabar, Et, Lev, Peiro, Wilo, Shelah, Et, Bnei, Yisrael, Mi'artso. And Moses and Aaron, they had done. Look at that word, asu, they had done. Here we have third person construct plural, cal perfect. So it's completed action in it. Perfect tense. Alright? Third person construct plural. They had done, sign of the direct object, all the wonders and miracles. All of the wonders and miracles. Brother Roger copied this for me in Hebrew. And I went back and corrected all the translation, as you can see. There's a whole lot of it corrected, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, the interlinears aren't very accurate. If you have a Hebrew interlinear, don't depend upon the interlinear. All right? You might be able to find something a little more quickly, but the interlinears are, they basically go along with King James. Everything goes along with King James. Because King James was the king of the English translation of the Bible for so long. Wrong or right? It's as simple as that. Ha'elei. All right. We'elei is and these. Now we have the these. Okay. Lifene. Lifene there. What is that lameth, Brother Abe? That lameth. What is that? On the front of that lifene. What is that lameth? What does that mean? Lameth is... All right, Brother Roger, you know what it is.
It's like two...
It's two words. It's a compound word. And le there is a preposition. And it means two or four. Okay? Le fene. It means two or four or before. Le fene is page 515 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And then we have face. Literally the nose. The face. That way, pene there. Pene. See that? Say pene. Le fene. The penne there, or fene, that has got to do, when you see a K, what does that stand for, brother? There's the mouth, the lips, and the tongue. That's what it is. So when you see a K, you know that it has something to do with the face. All right? And then, of course, penne, before the face of paro. What does paro mean? Paro. The guy that lives in the big house. All right. Watch Ezek. And he made strong. All right. Now look at this. Tell me about this, brother. Can anybody tell me about this verb here? Watch Ezek. What about this verb? What about it?
Wa is the and, A-N-D.
That's an and, all right.
And the shorish is the het.
Uh-huh.
Zayin and kof.
Yeah. All right. And then we have, what does it say now? Down here, let's look at the grammar. It's third person masculine singular, so it says and he. Now it's P-L stem. What does P-L stem tell us? The verb stem PL, what does that mean?
Intense.
It means intense or violently. It's something that's done with great force and violence. Okay? If I said that he killed him in the PL stem, what would that mean? That he violently killed him. Alright? Now, he violently made strong. He violently made strong. PL, while consecutive and perfect. So it means that now Pharaoh made his heart strong, didn't he, against God. Now God is doing the finishing touches. He is case-hardening his heart. You come up with steel. How many of you know anything about metallurgy? All right, you have steel. Now you've got steel, which is carbon and iron. All right, it turns it into steel. It makes it much stronger than cast iron. Iron will break. Steel will bend. But it's very hard, okay? Much harder than bronze, or much harder than brass, or much harder than copper, or silver, or gold, okay? You take steel, and then you harden it. You case harden it. And what you do, there's different ways to do it. They used to take what they used to call a spring temper. They would take, this was back in the blacksmith days. The old blacksmith days, you stuck a piece of steel in a forge. First of all, the forge was fired with coal, which is almost pure carbon, okay? And you have this coal in there, and you stick the steel in the coal, all right? And if you're going to weld two things together, what you did is you put two pieces of steel in there, and you get them almost white hot, and then you take and put borax. This is what you call flux. You know borax soap? You dip them in borax, in a thing of borax like that. And you have to do this really fast. You pull these two things out. A lot of times you have two people together, and they'll pull these out together right off of that thing, almost white hot, and they'll stick them on an anvil, and then you hit it hard with a hammer, and it fuses it together with the borax. You got it hard. Now you got it hard. Now, after you get it fused together, and they used to do those samurai swords, you know, they were a samurai or Damascus sword, It was flattened out and folded and flattened out and folded 1,000 times, they say. That's where you get those little squiggly lines. Now they cheat and they take cable and they heat up the cable in a forge and then they hit it with a hammer. And that's where you have the Damascus steel knives. Okay? That's a shortcut. The old Damascus steel, you fold 1,000 times. Then after you do all of that, you heat it up to cherry red. And they used to go out there where the ground was completely wet. And they stick it down in there till it totally cooled. And that's what you call a spring temper. Or you can take oil, certain kind of high carbon oil, and you can heat it up to red hot and then drop it in the oil until it cools off. And it'll make it harder. That's what you call tempered. Well, God tempered and case-hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was hard. Pharaoh hardened it, but then God put the finishing hard touches on it. When you go, there's such a thing as a live anvil and a dead anvil. I've got a live anvil and I've got a dead anvil out there on the farm. The live anvil is not near as hard. It's the surface of it is hard. You can hit it and it'll go thump. You go to a live anvil, and that means the whole anvil is completely hard-faced. I mean, hardened all the way through. And you hit that one, and it'll ring like a bell. God is going to make Pharaoh's heart ring like a bell. It's going to be real hard. Nothing's going to turn him around now. Okay? Nothing is going to turn him around. And he made his heart as strong as steel, Jehovah. The heart of Pharaoh. And not, he had sent, sign a direct object, the sons of Israel from his land. All right? The sons of Israel from his land. All right, 12 and verse 1. We're in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Re'ele Shemot. Exodus means what?
To go out.
All right. That's it in Greek. All right, it comes from the Greek word, Exodus. And here we have two Greek words. Ek means what? What's that sign? Ekit. That means out of it, doesn't it? Ek means out of, and then hodos. That means the road out. All right? The road out. In the Lakota, that's hantayo. The way out, or the road out. Hantayo. So a little Indian in there too. The first Passover now is going to be instituted. 9:1-14. Numbers 9:1-14 is where this is also retold. Exodus 12:1. Wayomer. Hadavar. El Moshe. Wiel. Aharon. Be'eretz. Mitzrayim. Lemor. Okay. Wayomer. And he said and kept on saying, third person master singer, Calwell, consecutive, imperfect. Page 55 in Brown, Driver, and Brakes. Page 65 in Kohler and Bumgardner. Then Jehovah. Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? Who would remember what Jehovah means? Who knows what that word means, Jehovah? He who shall become. Tell me the root of that. Hayah. All right. Hayah. Here we have it. There's Jehovah. The root of that is to become. All right. This one is on page 218 and 19 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And this one here is on page 224 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs and 243 in Bowler, Kohler, and Bumgardner. See there how you can remember all those things in a few years, brother? You just keep on going. You'll just remember all those little page numbers and everything. See where they are in your head because you've looked at them so many times. And he said, Jehovah, the one who shall become unto Moshe. What's Moses mean? Remember what Moses means, Brother Abe? Moses, Moshe. To draw out, to rescue. All right. Isn't so wonderful? Who named Moses? Who named Moses?
Just a princess.
Yes. the little princess, Pharaoh's daughter, named Moses, by inspiration. God touched her heart, did he not? Can God touch people's heart?
He must have, since her dad wanted all of them killed.
That's right. Her dad wanted them all killed. And the one, and she knew that this was a child of the Hebrews. What does the word Hebrew mean? That's right. Young lady, you got an A-plus for tonight, too. We've got to get Pamela down there A-plus tonight. Also, we got Abe got an A-plus. Roger got an A-plus. L. L is what? That's the name of God sometimes in certain places. But right here, what is it? It's also an adverb of negation in places. But right here, it's not an adverb of negation. What is it? That's a preposition. All right? A little preposition right there. Unto Moses, Moshe. Okay? Jehovah said unto Moses, that means to rescue and to draw out, page 602. We, El, and unto, another preposition, unto Aharon. Aharon means what? Light or enlightenment. Light or enlightenment. Okay? In the land. We are be'eretz. Be' is a preposition, page 88. And then aretz, it means the land. What does it mean, this aretz? It's not adama. It is aretz. What does aretz mean?
Dry land.
Dry land. Okay. Of Mithraim, the land of red mud and canal banks. Lemor. This comes from Amer. It is infinitive construct cal stem. All right? Infinitive construct cal stem. 12 and verse 2 now. 12 and 2. Ha Chodesh. Hazeh. Lechem. Rosh. All right. Ha Dashim. Rishon. Hu. Lakem, Li Chadeshe, Ha Shana. The moon Nu, or the new moon. Chadesh. Ha. Chadesh means the new moon. The new moon, or the moon this. And the moon means what? What are all, what is the Jewish calendar based upon? Solar or lunar?
Lunar,
which means the month, the moon. It's not based upon the sun, but it's based upon the moon. Okay? And so the moon this, or the month this, the month the this, Hazeh, for you all. Look at that. Let him. Here we have a preposition. But the preposition has a suffix. And the suffix is second person masculine plural. Did I lose you? Lachem. It's a preposition lament. And then the suffix in that, this is a preposition with a suffix, and it's second person masculine plural. Page 515 for the preposition. And then if you want to look it up, it's on page 429 in Davidson's. I'm not telling you any stories now. Okay? This is it. For you all, the head of all the moons. Okay? The head of all the moons. Now, how should we translate this here, Brother Roger?
Like New Year's Day.
This is New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah? Mm-hmm. That's what it is?
Mm-hmm.
This is the new year. This is the first of all the months, of the head of all the months. Okay? I don't know what it says there in the Amplified Bible. Let me look over here. Exodus 12 and 2. Let's see how it translates it. This moon shall be to you the beginning of months, the first month of the year to you. All right. That's basically what was said. the head, the Rosh. The Rosh, all right, is the head. And remember what Rosh is here. What is this? That's Resh. In Hebrew, what's the idea of it? The back of the head. The back of the head. Okay? This for you, the head of all of the months or the moons. Rishon, the first, it. Look at that word, it. Q. That is a third person pronoun, basically, is what it is. And it could be masculine, feminine, or neuter. He, she, or an it. Okay? For you all, lechem, again. There we have the word lechem. For you all, second person plural, second person masculine plural, the new month, or the new moon, the year. All right? The Shana, that means year. What does year mean, by the way? Shana. Shana. What does Shana mean? Dakota, what's Shana mean? Shana.
All the months?
It means a complete cycle.
Yeah.
A whole circle. A whole cycle. Okay? That's what it means. A whole cycle of months. That's what a year is. 12 and verse 3. Are you learning something out of this? Is this exciting to you, I hope? Pam. Yeah, you got it. Okay. Dabaru. El Kol Odath Yisrael Lemor Biasor La Kodesh Haze We Yiku Lahem Ish Se Leveth Avoth Say, La Bayit.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, this is the first Passover, but Passover is the spring and Rosh Hashanah is in the fall.
Mm-hmm. This shall be the first of the months for you, the head of the months. Yeah. This shall be the first Passover is the beginning of the nation of Israel.
But why is Passover and why aren't they celebrated at the same time? Why are they
like 6 months
apart?
Well, that's up to the Jewish people.
I don't know how to explain it, but they moved it. Because I think it was because there's too many holidays or festivals.
There were all festivals, just one right after another.
Yeah. And so, no, they did move it.
Yeah.
Not crazy.
It should, no, it's, you're not crazy at all. It's just this was supposed to be the first of all their months and everything. This was the beginning of the nation of Israel. This is when Israel actually begins. This is when the nation of Israel this is the origin of the nation of Israel when God called them out. This is it. This is the first thing.
My question is, you know, when you say holy, Kodesh?
Uh-huh.
Is that similar to this Lakodesh? The new moon?
The new moon.
Is it spelled different?
Let's look at it. It's on page 294. And Davidson. I don't have Brown, Driver, and Briggs with me tonight. I forgot it. So I can't look at that.
Kodesh, 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 the Holy, Holy, Holy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, because they started adding additional holidays.
Yeah. Let's see if this says any here. Kadesh. To make new, it's on page 249 in this book. In Davidson's, it's on page 249, which I better write that down here. Better use a pen that writes. 249. and 294. Backwards, huh?
Mm-hmm.
To make new, to renew, to restore. Hitzel, to be renewed. All right. Hadesh, masculine, this clench, fourth declension. All right. Hadesh, shot, a new, recent, fresh. New moon, month. And that's about it. Chadesh. That's all they have, Chadesh. That means moon here. All right.
I want to ask your question off me, moon.
All right. The year. 12 and verse 3. Ye speak. And how is he supposed to speak now? What does it say down underneath Dabaru? Tell me what it says down there.
Masculine plural, plural, imperfect.
All right, so imperative.
Imperative.
All right. Masculine plural, so this is ye, you all, okay? It's a bunch of people. You speak, both of you speak. And PL stem means what?
So,
violently with great force. Okay? Unto all the congregation. This adoth there is the assembly. All the congregation. All right? Of Israel. Saying, Lemor. Now we have Cal infinity constructs. Actually, it means to be saying. Is what it literally says, to be saying. Literally, to be saying. Intent. Be'asor. That beth there in front is preposition, and then esor, that is the tenth. To the new month, to the new moon, the this. Yik, kit you. They shall keep on taking. They shall keep on taking for themselves each man, a sheep. All right? A say, a sheep. For a house, le beth. Preposition is le, beth is a house. For each house of a father, each father's house, a sheep for the house. Alright? Sheep for the house. Here we have the Passover being instituted. Alright? 12 and verse 4. 12 and verse 4. Pam, you got any questions in here?
No.
Do you know who John was? John the Dipper now, don't you? John the Immerser. He didn't sprinkle people. He didn't pour water on them. He dipped them. All right? John the Dipper. Yes?
At that time, in Egypt, they used sun calendar, right?
What?
Sun calendar.
Yes. Yes.
It counted as...
Yes. Their calendar was a what we call a solar calendar. And then we have the lunar calendar. Israel goes by the lunar calendar. God's going to change everything. What do we go? What calendar do we go by today? In the Western world, what calendar do we go by? The solar calendar. Solar calendar. We don't go by the lunar calendar. Israel has always gone by the lunar, by the month. Okay? Evidently, that's what God wanted. But we don't quite do things exactly right. Okay? I would say that God was right, and the whole world is wrong. That's just the way I look at things. God is right, and the whole world is wrong. If he'd have wanted it being by the sun, he would have gone by the sun. But for some reason, he wanted it by the moon. Okay? 12 and verse 4. We am. Yamat. Habayit. Mihyat. Mish-shay. We laka. Hu. Yushikanal. Hagarov. El. Bitol. Bimiksot. Nefashot. Ish. Lefi. Akilo. Takaso El Haze. We am. And if. Now let's look at this, how she would translate Yamat. Yamat comes from Mot. See that Mot down there? Mem, Ayin, and Teth. He kept on being small. Third person, masculine, singular, Cal, imperfect. The household. If the household kept on being small, wasn't a large house. To become, alright, to become from sheep, alright, me, yacht. To become, that comes from, haya, it's infinitive construct, cow stem. To become from sheep, he shall have taken, he shall have taken, third person, master, singer, cow, wow, consecutive, perfect. He shall have taken, he, the sheep. This is a masculine sheep, isn't it? This is the boy sheep. They didn't sacrifice girl sheep, they sacrificed boy sheep. Why did they sacrifice boy sheep instead of girl sheep, Dakota? Why did they always kill boy sheep? Huh? Why do they kill boy sheep instead of girl sheep? They even do that today, don't they? Why did they do it here? Pam, you know what? Brother Abe, do you know why they did this? Sharon.
Well, I think there's probably two reasons.
Okay.
Okay, one is the females can produce more sheep. So
yes.
They kill them.
But what is the main reason?
Because it's a symbol of Christ.
It's a symbol of Christ, and he's masculine.
Yes.
It's a symbol of Christ, and he's a he. Okay? That's why they took the masculine, the boy sheep. At the prime of his life, by the way. At the very prime of his life, they took it. Now, today, they make, they neuter them. And, I can't think of the term. A sheep and a goat is the same term. And I cannot think it. Dakota, what is Louie? He's a neutered billy goat. He's not a billy goat anymore. I can't think of the term. Anyway, they don't do this in the Bible. They did not neuter any animals. It was illegal, wrong to neuter animals in the Bible. And we do that today to keep them from multiplying and things, but in the Bible, you could not do that because they were allowed to procreate. He shall have taken he, the sheep, and his neighbor, the one near him, Hak Karov, the one near him, unto his house. In computation, in numbering, in figuring, of souls, each man, to mouth eating. To mouth eating, ye shall keep on numbering or counting or figuring. Third, second person, masculine, plural, cal, imperfect, unto the sheep. All right? In other words, you'll take a sheep and you'll figure out how many people would take to eat that sheep, and then you will keep on counting. If this family is small, you get one more family. If that one's not quite enough, you add another family, and you get all of them in the house. Because you can't leave one piece of this sheep to rot, can you? Why? Why couldn't you have leftovers?
No refrigeration.
Well, they didn't have any refrigeration, but why wouldn't you? Well, no refrigeration. So if you had leftover sheep, the food would do what?
Rot.
It would rot. And if this is the type of Christ, would his body rot? Did his body rot in the grave for 3 days? His body did not rot in the grave. Because he had no human blood, his blood was divine, and his blood had no infection of sin in him, and it would not have rotted. As the Jehovah's Witnesses say, they didn't know what happened to his body, whether it dissolved or went up in gases or whatever. I can tell you what happened to Jesus' body. It did not rot in the grave, and it was resurrected. Period. Without ever sustaining any degree of degradation. No. They don't believe he was raised at all, no. But by the way, they don't believe that he was God the Son either.
Well,
that he was Michael. Michael took on a human life, and that the human life died, And they don't know what happened to the body. They don't know where it went or anything. Okay? But that's not scriptural. Anyway, that's Jehovah's Witness blow. All right.
How can they square that with scripture?
They don't. But in their minds, they do. How do they square that Jesus Christ is not the God the Son with scriptures when you got the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation? Because it keeps repeating over and over that Jehovah became flesh. And you just grab a hold of them.
They make good Muslims.
They what?
They would make good
Muslims. Yes, they would. They would make good Muslims. Because Muslims do not believe that Jesus Christ was God the Son. They believe that is blasphemy. Guess what? That's what the Jews thought too. They're kissing cousins. That was blasphemy. All right, 12 and verse 5. I wouldn't call them quite the Jews and the Muslims quite kissing cousins, but they are definitely cousins. And they have a lot of the same beliefs. 12 and verse 5, Seth, Tamim, Dakar, Ben Shana, Yeh. I used to remember Brother Hubbard used to, he'd laugh when he'd say Yeh. You know, like that. Do you say that sound like somebody laughing? Lakem, Men, Hakivashim, Yumim, Haizim, Tekatu. Seh, that's the sheep. Perfect one. Perfect one. All right? A perfect sheep. A male. A son of the year. The firstborn of the first year. Okay? He shall become, third person masculine singular, cal imperfect, he shall become and keep on becoming to you. From the sheep, man, that's a little preposition right there, page 580. The sheep, ha-hak-ke-vashim, from the sheep, and from the he-goats, and from the he-goats, ye shall keep on taking, second person, masculine, plural, cal, imperfect. Ye shall keep on taking perpetually, year after year after year. Leviticus 22:18 through 21, 23:12, Hebrews 9:14, 1 Peter 1:19 is what it's talking about. Let's go over into the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews 9 and 12, and 1 Peter 1 and 9, 1:19. Who has that? Who's got that in the New Testament? Hekine Diatheke. Who has that? Sharon, are you there?
Yes.
You want to come up here and read that for me? All right. Hebrews, what do you got? No, I want you to come up here because they can't hear you back there.
New International.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, 9 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
It says, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the Most High Place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption.
All right. That's a whole lot different than the year to year, isn't it? Eternal redemption. Every year on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, what happens? Israel has to confess their sins on the head, the family has to confess their sins on the head of a sheep or a goat, and they have to go through the same thing year after year. For a few moments, after that sheep has been slaughtered and everything else, they have forgiveness of sins. But then the sins begin to pile up for a whole year again, and they have to do it over and over again. But Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, once for all, we're forgiven. Have you got Hebrews 9? Who's got Hebrews 9? Brother Abel, who's got a Hebrews the 9th chapter? Hebrews 9, verse 14. That was 1 Peter 1, 19. Hebrews 9.
No, I did Hebrews.
What?
I did Hebrews.
Oh, you did Hebrews? Okay, then 1 Peter 1, 19. 1 Peter 1, 19. Who's got 1 Peter 1, 19? Hebrews, James, and Peter. 1 Peter 1, 19. Do you have that, Brother Abe?
Yeah.
Can you come up here and read that for us? this run right up here.
1
Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19.
This Bible is very easy interpretation, contemporary English version.
Okay.
1:19?
Yes.
You were rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that spotless and innocent lamb.
Okay. He was our spotless and innocent lamb. What did John the Dipper say when he saw Jesus Christ on the shores or the banks of the Jordan River? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." All of it. All right. The Lamb of God. 12 and verse 6 now. 12 and verse 6. Wehaya. Lahem. Li Mishmeret. Ad. Arba'a. Asar. Yom. Le Chadesh. Haze. We shall chatu, oto, call, kahal, adat, Yisrael, ben ha'arbayim. And he shall have become. Third person masculine singular, kalwal, consecutive, imperfect. He shall have become for you, for you all. We have a preposition there with a second person masculine plural ending, lekem. Li mashmeret. To guard. And now look at his. Now we have the word odd. That's on page 724. Until. We have a, it's got an idea of time. Until. Until 410. Day, the 14th day, to the new month, to the new moon, the this. And they shall have slaughtered. Third person construct plural, cal, wow, consecutive, perfect. They shall have slaughtered him, literally. Ato, that's him. It's got it down there. I forgot to change that it to him, brother. They shall have slaughtered him. All the assembly, congregation of Israel, between the sunsets. All right? This is the Passover night, isn't it? The Passover night. 12 and verse 7 now. 12 and verse 7. We're clipping right along. We la yesh chu. Men, ha-adam, we na-tenu, al, shati, ha-mi-zu-zot, we all, ham-mash-kof, al, habatim, asher, yokilu, ota, bahim. And they shall have taken, third person construct plural, cal, wow, consecutive, perfect. They shall have taken, this is future perfect. See that? This is like future perfect here. God knows this is what's going to happen because he can see the beginning from the end. From the blood. Alright, from the bloods, literally. That should be plural there. From the bloods. Ha-adam, from the bloods, and they will have placed, third person's construct, plural, cal, wow, consecutive, perfect, they will have placed upon the two the doorpost. Now you have doorpost. When you enter into a house, most of those houses were made out of adobe, basically, which is mud and mixed with straw and stuff. But in a doorway, you can stack up mud across, up like this, but going across up here like this is a little harder. So they'd have a wooden post here, and they would have a beam going across here, and that's what you call a structural beam. This is that which holds everything up. This is a bearing wall type beam, okay? And it bears up all of the stone or whatever else is above there. So we have the foundation that holds the house up. Basically a cornerstone of a house in reality. And on that, we strike it here, and we strike it here, and we strike it here with blood. They take blood from this lamb, bloods from the lamb, and that blood is holy. Kadesh is holy. Because it's an innocent blood. Jesus Christ's blood was innocent. He was innocent of all sin. And this little lamb, he was innocent of all sin. But they dipped this rag, or hyssop, into this blood, and they put some there, and they put some there, and they put some over here. And in what formation is that? That's right. Connect the dots. The shape of a cross. Because Jesus will be put on a cross. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses do not like this either. You need to know that. Why don't the Jehovah's Witnesses like this? They miss so much in the Bible. Why don't the Jehovah's Witnesses like it? By the way, we've got grapes out there, over there, and we've got cupcakes and all kinds of stuff if you guys are hungry. Why don't the Jehovah's Witnesses like this thing making the shape of a cross? The tabernacle does that too. A cross. Why don't they like this? Why don't they like to think about this cross? The word cross is staros in Greek. Originally, the staros was a stake. And they say, Jesus was crucified on a stake. I beg their pardon. He was not impaled. He was crucified. There was a guy that was crucified on a stake in the Bible. But it wasn't really crucified. He was impaled on a stake. We have the evolution of crucifixion. It actually began back in the book of Esther. You go back in the book of Esther. And we have Mordecai and we have Haman in there. Haman was trying to get Mordecai staked. And so he built this gallows. What it was is a platform. And on top of that was a sharpened stake. And what they would do back in those days, this is a horrible idea. On this sharpened stake, they would take a man and they would grease the stake. They would grease it, lubricate it. And they would take a man and they would set him where it would go up through his rectum. And slowly, as he would move, this stake would go up through his body and rupture all the organs and he would internally bleed to death. And it was terribly painful. That was the staros. But then the Romans got the idea. Aha, that's pretty bad. He's up here where everybody can see him. That was 75 feet in the air, basically. Way up there so everybody could see this guy impaled. That was impaled. Okay, that was impaling. That wasn't crucifying. Then later on, they said, well, let's take a guy. This is public execution. We're going to take a guy and we're going to put two sticks like that in the form of a, like a key in Greek. All right? Put one arm there, one arm here, one foot there, and we'll crucify him, and he'll hang out there like this, and he'll sooner or later, after a few days, he's going to suffocate. In the meanwhile, he's going to really be suffering, because we're going to nail his wrist to these things, and we're going to nail his feet to each one. He's going to be spread out there like this until he dies. Okay? And they said, well, they're dying too fast. So now, we have the crucifix. There were two kinds, like a towel and like this. And probably the one that Jesus was crucified on was like this. They would take and put, nail a hand here, nail a hand there. They put a seat on it so he could sit there and suffer a little longer. He could take a rest. And then they put a platform down here, and they nailed down through both feet. They were crossed like that. They put a nail down through there, nail this, nail that. They cut ropes on their arms until they got them up in the air, because they usually use these things over and over again. And they lift them up, stop them in a hole, then get up and take the ropes off so it wouldn't tear the nails out. They usually had washers on their hands and these nails. Sometimes people could last 2 weeks like this. They would suffer out there and dehydrate until their heart finally quit beating. And it would last a long, long time. And then meanwhile, it's a great deterrent to crime. Capital punishment is a great deterrent to crime. God said it was in the days of Noah, and it has still been that way. But this was a very horrible type of death. Now they don't know whether they need to give them lethal injections or whatever, you know, because it might hurt them when they're killing them. We want to be humane about killing people. Take them out in the square and hang them or guillotine a few of them. If I really do the public some good, we probably wouldn't have to have so many law officers around. All right, let's go on. Yes. Yeah, the Catholics cross themselves. Yes, they cross themselves when they pray. They get through, they cross themselves. Because of the cross. Yeah. Well, that's the shape of the cross, okay? Theirs is a crucifix like this. This was probably the one, it could have been like this, okay? But it was a cross, regardless. And that is the crucifixion. This is the impaling. That's how it began. But it evolved into this. From this to this to this to this. All right? Horrible way to die. All right, we're almost finished here for tonight. All right, they're going to crucify him. Or not crucify him, but they're going to sacrifice this sheep that represents Jesus Christ, and they're going to sacrifice him or slaughter him between the sunsets. All right? And one day they're going to eat this sheep up. That's it. They got to eat it because they cannot let it spoil. Because it typifies the perfect, uncorruptible body of Jesus Christ. All right. And they have taken from the bloods, and they will have placed upon the two doorposts and upon the lintels, the header. The doorpost and the header. All right? And upon the houses which they shall keep on eating it, him. Again, it's him. I didn't change that. Sometimes I overlook something. They keep on eating him in them. All right? They keep on eating him. Who's the him? That's the lamb, the sacrifice. All right? So now there is no death angel passing over Egypt, either, by the way. Did you know that? No death angel. There is no death angel. How many times do you ever hear somebody, some preacher preach that the death angel passed over Israel? Or Egypt, that is. Has anybody not heard that? That is a fallacy. Who passed over Egypt? Jehovah himself. It was not the death angel. Alright? In the New Testament, it calls him the destroyer. Because when Jehovah passed over Egypt, they couldn't stand the presence of holiness. And it killed them. Because of his presence. They were undone in his presence. Undone. You know that you are holy? You are saints. If you've been born again, you're saints. You are saints. You're not of this earth. You're born the first time, you're born of the earth. Second time, you're born from above. Are you glad you've been born from above now, Pam? Mm-hmm. All right. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Is the scriptures opening up to you now a little better? Mm-hmm. You looked at it before, it wasn't your mail. Now it's your mail. It's addressed to you. All right. The Bible's addressed to you. All right. 12 and verse 8 is where we'll... We went 11. Where did we start? We had 11:10. 11:10 through 12:8. Do you have any questions? Any questions on this? All right. 11:10 through 12:8. We almost got 10 verses tonight. This is scriptures opening up to you a little bit better when you look at them from the original language. It explains things so much more. Did the genealogy help you just a little bit of the different people, the races? I want to emphasize this again. All the Hamite people were not cursed to slavery. Only the line of Cain was cursed. Only the line of Cain. Those that would found the land of Canaan. Because Israel was going to go in there, and God told Noah this would happen. That this would happen. All right?
I have a question.
Yes.
So, are the Palestinians, they're not of that line because they're descendants of Abraham, even though they live in that area.
That's right. They're descendants of Abraham.
Yeah. But there's probably been a whole lot
of intermarriage
in all these
thousands of years. Mm-hmm. They're part Hamites, too. The Arabs are. By the way, we talk about language. We talk so much about language. When you talk to Jewish people, their idea of their history is so prejudiced that they don't know it even. I don't know whether they don't know it or they just make believe and live in a fairy world. I'm not sure. But what language did the Jews in Arabia and all of those areas, what language did they speak for 1,000 years?
Arabic.
Almost all of their holy writings were written in Arabic. They would recite the festivals in Hebrew, which they really didn't do very well with. But all of it was in Arabic. You read history and see what language they were speaking. And then we have around 1800, we have a renaissance of Judaism with their language. But where did they get the information about their language? The great biblical scholars that were teaching Greek and Hebrew. Germany, mainly. All right. We talked about this morning in our class, which I think maybe I just went over. I think I so shocked these people in the class that they didn't quite comprehend. You know, I used to teach Western civilization and political science. And when you teach those languages, you have to study between the lines. You don't study a U.S. history book. You study history, period, world history, from every language, from every aspect of all the nations. And you find out what really happened. World War number 2, we talked about that this morning. World War number 2 was a conflict between capitalism and communism. That's what it was about. I don't know whether you know that or not. Who were the capitalists?
Germans.
Germany. They were the capitalists. And who were the communists?
Russia.
And what she was going to do to the world. Russia was planning on taking over all of Europe. Germany, and by the way, the Jews were migrating to Russia as fast as they could get there. All right, trying to get out. But they had a lot of stock and money and property in Germany. And they owned the banking system, too, pretty much, at that time. But Germany had volunteers from every nation of Europe that was going to make Europe safe from communism. Because they knew that Russia was coming after them. So from Spain and Italy and Latvia, from Sweden and Switzerland, and the Netherlands and all of the Northern European nations, Germany said, if you want to be in the SS trooper, our super soldiers, by the way, that's basically what they were. This was what we call a foreign legion. To join the German SS trooper foreign legion, they had to prove that they were German. So Germany said, all of these people, Germanians, and by the way, there were British SS troopers. Did you know that? There were SS troopers volunteered out of all of those nations because these people did not want to become communists under the thumb of Russia. And the whole idea is they were going to go into Russia and they were going to conquer the whole Russian world in 6 weeks. And they built up all these ammunition and gas and everything. They didn't have enough gas to last longer than that. But they didn't realize that Russia was so powerful and so well militarized yet. Because they were going to take over the world. Stalin was going to take over the world. You know who one of his top generals was? Who was one of Stalin's top generals? Khrushchev. Did you know that? You could even see his face. He didn't look any different from the time he came over here thumbing his nose at America. Yeah. You'll be speaking Russian, you know. That was his idea. That's what they planned. So these people tried to stand against communism. And, of course, the Jewish are socialist, communist-type people, because that's what the Old Testament teaches. I'm not saying communism or capitalism is wrong, either one, but the Jews stood by communism. And Karl Marx, Marxism and communism, he said, look here, the Bible teaches this. All right? Well, and of course then Russia turned against the Jews for the same reason that Germany turned against the Jews. All right, so that's a little history of the world, just a little bit. Okay, is that interesting? When you look at it from that point of view, who were the last SS troopers to guard Hitler's compound that died to the last man? They were not Germans. They were Latvians. Almost every SS trooper was executed after the war. Or they tried to go to America, but almost everyone was executed. Almost every one of that, or else they were put in death camps. Almost every SS trooper. They hide out, they hid out, they went down. And by the way, the people that started all the dairies in America? The Dutch. They were the greatest, the biggest part of the SS troopers were Dutch. And they skedaddled out of Germany after the war and ran to Argentina and South America, and then they migrated to America. And a lot of them started dairies up here, the Dutch people. I had one of the former high-ranking SS troopers out there by us. We didn't know this until after he died. But he was one of the high-ranking SS troopers just at the end of the road from where I am. He had a dairy. All right. He was German. He was German. He was real German. Anyway, so maybe that will just give you a little bit of idea, a little something you didn't see before in the world. It's nice when you study history and you can really find out what's going on. It's not what's going on a lot of times isn't exactly what's down in history books. You have to read between the lines. You have to really realize that. When you study Western civilization as a reality, I like to read books from other countries, what they have to say. You can't understand the history of America unless you look at it from a Canadian standpoint, or an Australian standpoint, or a British standpoint. Then it's when you really will understand the history of America. And when you study the history of American politics, political science, you have to just throw away all the dross and throw away all the propaganda and look at it as it is. Period. And then you might understand what really did happen. And I'm not saying I'm a genius in that kind of stuff either. It's just that's the way history does not lie. When you get down into history. You can paint it, you can propagandize it, do whatever you want to, but in the end, it's going to be what really happened. And look at from the outside looking in, too. That's the most thing. Don't look from the inside out. Look from the outside in. Do you have any more questions? But do you see how God's unpreventable progress, even with all of this stuff, keeps on bringing about His perfect will? He permits. He permitted Hitler to rise. He permitted that. And all those nations of that, what made him so strong was the people wanted to save the world from communism. Because they knew that Russia was going to attack. We had all this, and it got Israel to go into their land again. They were pretty much happy wherever they were. But it drove them home. The displaced person ships that were out in the Haifa Bay and out in the Mediterranean, people, those Jews started jumping off the ships and swimming to shore. After World War II, they just anchored them out there and they lived on the ship for a long time. All right, let's have a word of prayer and go out and do something eternal. This morning I had the stewardship of bad investments. Invest into something that is eternal, that's eternal. Anything we do in this world doesn't matter much unless we do it for the Lord. All right. Brother Abe, do you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother? He is our song leader on Sunday morning and a good one. I tell you what, I just love to hear your wife sing, Brother Abe. That girl's got a voice right out of the third heaven. Did she sing for you at home?
Maybe.
Boy, she's got a voice. Boy, she's got a voice.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night.